there were people gathering in several areas, shopping areas, shopping malls, and then the police just kind of started firing tear gas.
It was a violent Christmas Eve in Hong Kong. This is Wednesday, December 25th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, you'll hear from a VOA correspondent who has spent quite a while covering the Hong Kong protest. The U.S. president says he might get a vase as a holiday surprise from Kim Jong-un, and we'll take you on a tour of a U.S. colonial city at Christmas. Hopes for a peaceful Christmas were dashed in Hong Kong Tuesday after riot police fired tear gas and protesters set fire at various locations across the city that had been roiled by civil unrest for more than 6 months. Large crowds had gathered in several shopping malls and a busy tourist area in response to online calls to voice their discontent with the government and to demand greater democracy. The anti-government movement in Hong Kong, sparked by a controversial extradition law, has entered the seventh month and shows no signs of abating. Protesters say they won't give up unless the government meets their political demands, and they include universal suffrage and an independent investigation into police brutality. Verna Yu is covering Hong Kong for VOA, and she joins us. Verna, there seems to have been a lull of late in the protest. What happened Christmas Eve?
Online, there were calls for people to gather to protest. It started about 9 o'clock in the evening. There were people gathering in several areas, shopping areas, shopping malls, and then the police just kind of started firing tear gas shortly after 9 o'clock. They made some arrests, and then there were some clashes in shopping centers also, where police kind of got into a fight with some protesters. Some of the protesters suspect that some people were undercover police, and then they got into a fight, and then the police, riot police, rushed in and started beating people. Yeah, it all started from there. And later on in the evening, people started putting roadblocks on the street, started setting fire on objects, and then they went on to set fire at a metro station entrance. They smashed up the front of an HSBC bank, which said that they suspended a bank account of a non-profit group which raised funds for protesters. And the police also issued a late-night statement saying that protesters threw Molotov cocktail at a police station.
From what you saw, how does this compare to what has been happening or not been happening over the past week or so, and as far as the number of the crowd and who started any violence? Was it the protesters or the police?
I actually think it's hard to tell who started the violence. I would say that from what I saw, there were people gathering, large crowds, and then some people started to put up roadblocks. I think the police were also quite nervous. Some people on the ground told me that they felt that the police were rather overreacting. Protesters were quite provocative also, but they felt that the police overreacted. There were large numbers of riot police present, and And then, it all started. I mean, the kind of the verbal abuse that went on went both sides, and that has been happening for quite a few months now.
Well, it seems that New Year's Eve is the next next protest opportunity. Is that correct, or do you expect something before that?
There's a civil rights group which has called on a New Year New Year mass protest. So that will probably be the next big one. The last big one was also organized by the same, not tonight, but the last mass protest, which was attended by around 800,000 people, an estimated 800,000 people, that was organized by this group called Civil Human Rights Group as well. Last time it was also relatively peaceful, and it was a police-sanctioned protest. The next one is scheduled to be New Year, so we'll see whether the police will give permission for the next one. But it's usually the police sanctioned one that tends to be more kind of like organized and peaceful. And what happened tonight? They were kind of they were scattered protests. They tend to be more out of control, I think.
Verna Yu joining us from Hong Kong. As we continue on VOA Asia, one of the VOA Mandarin Service correspondents covering the Hong Kong protest has just returned and has put together a look back at the movement. Stay with us for that. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Officials in Afghanistan say Taliban insurgents have attacked an army base in the northern Balkh province, killing at least 7 Afghan soldiers and wounding 6 others. Russia has released 5 Japanese fishing boats and their 24 crewmen after detaining them for a week for allegedly violating fishing agreements near a group of disputed islands. China held a three-way summit with South Korea and Japan Tuesday aimed at presenting a united front to counter what is seen by many as North Korea's resurgent belligerence. Typhoon Fanfon smashed into the central Philippines Tuesday, leaving thousands of people unable to get home for the Christmas holidays and forcing many others to evacuate in the face of the onslaught. This is VOA Asia. VOA Mandarin Service reporter Paris Wang looks back at the dramatic scenes of revolt over recent months in Hong Kong. What began as protest over a proposed extradition law, meaning Hong Kongers could face trial in China's Communist Party-controlled courts, unleashed years of pent-up frustrations over creeping control by Beijing and an intentional erosion of Cantonese culture. Here is VOA's Paris Wang with a first-hand account of his time covering the unrest.
There were protests everywhere. Tear gas.
Extradition bill.
Anti-government rally.
Violence in Hong Kong intensified overnight.
Vandalizing, and you can see the fire. You feel like a war zone. I was in Hong Kong from the end of August to the beginning of November, so about 2 months. There are casualties everywhere. I saw a female reporter was carried away. You can find the police being very easily agitated. They got angry right away because I know the protest was getting more and more violent.
Why would they attack this train? Because this train has become a police vehicle.
The Mong Kha station, it was all black. You can see the burn marks. The police asked the metro company. They shut down the metro, so the protesters have nowhere else to go. They enraged the protesters. They say they have the reason to vandalize a lot of stuff. I saw fire. I ran to the fire. I saw the black smoke. Came out so much after the smoke disappeared. I saw the sign, Xiaomi store, which is a Chinese cell phone. I remember the China Bank, their ATM were all broken. The water was dripping down from the ceiling. The companies owned by the Chinese or supporting the Hong Kongese government, they'll be vandalized. I think there's also difficult for the Hong Kong police to be in that situation for such a long time. They're also very tired. They've been pushed to the limit. And I saw there were several older women were yelling at the police. And I saw the police, they don't know how to react to that. They would just have their hands holding in front of their body. I wouldn't say they're kids, but they look like pretty young. There are so many protests every day, every weekend. I don't see a lot of people in coordinating, but people are just coming out on their own. Also, office workers, they walk into the rally. It finished after the lunch hour and people just went back to work. It's all very organic. And people would do flash mobs. One of the most iconic protest songs on this movement is Glory to Hong Kong. So one time I went to this shopping center called City Plaza. There was this guy playing harmonica. When you turn around, you see it was like 3, 4, 5 stories of the shopping mall. It was full of people. They're all singing Glory to Hong Kong. Send chills to your spine. You will feel that. It's like emotion. The streets are not just for the police and the protesters. Regular Hong Kongese residents live there too. They come out to shop, they come out to eat. At that moment, I can realize how mentally a burden that would be to regular Hong Kong residents.
VOA's Mandarin Service correspondent Paris Wong's account of his time covering the unrest in Hong Kong. Happening now in Asia, several thousand people rallied in India's capital city, New Delhi, Monday, in a silent protest organized by opposition parties against the controversial citizenship bill that critics say discriminates against Muslims. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We are happy you're with us on VOA Asia. President Donald Trump says the U.S. is ready to deal with any Christmas gift that North Korea has threatened to deliver amid stalled nuclear negotiations between the two nations. He talked about it with reporters Tuesday.
We'll see what happens. Well, let's see. Maybe it's a nice present. Maybe it's a present where he sends me a beautiful vase as opposed to a missile test. Right? I may get a vase. I may get a nice present from him. You don't know. You never know. We'll find out what the surprise is, and we'll deal with it very successfully. Let's see what happens. Everybody's got surprises for me, but let's see what happens. I handle them as they come along.
North Korea has called on the U.S. to make concessions in the nuclear talks and warned earlier this month it is entirely up to the U.S. what Christmas gift it will select to get. The nuclear negotiations have been stalled since February, with North Korea seeking sanctions relief before giving up any of its nuclear capability, a path the United States has so far rejected. Last month, North Korea conducted its fourth launch of 2019 of what it called a super large multiple rocket launch system and warned it may soon launch a real ballistic missile in the vicinity of Japan. North Korea last tested an intercontinental ballistic missile in November of 2017 and conducted a nuclear test in September of 2017. In April 2018, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un announced a self-imposed moratorium on the ICBM and nuclear test, saying North Korea no longer needs those tests. Recently, North Korean officials have issued reminders that North Korea's pause on ICBM and nuclear test was self-imposed and can be reversed. Stay with us. You're listening to VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia, Disney has cut a lesbian kiss from the latest Star Wars movie, one of the top Christmas films. Singapore's media regulators said that on Tuesday they cut it from the Star Wars movie so that more children can watch it. The two minor female characters embrace but don't kiss in the version of The Rise of Skywalker shown in Singapore. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues now with the business scene. Private sleuth Soon Jurong brings heat detectors, tiny surveillance cameras, and a blow dart loaded with a tranquilizer to his search for one desperate client's missing loved cat. This man, dubbed by China's media as the nation's first pet detective, is a stony-faced animal lover who solves cases with the help of high-tech gear worth thousands of dollars.
We have advanced equipment. We have accumulated cases over the years to analyze the data. We could think of 10 things to do in our cognitive field, while the owner can think of one or two. Our success rate is one or two times better than the owner's.
With dogged determination, Soon has reunited around 1,000 missing pets and their owners since he lost his business 7 years ago. Clients pay $1,130 for the service provided by his company, which has 10 employees and is based in the eastern city of Shanghai. Soon often gets calls from anguished pet owners in the middle of the night and rushes to cities and towns across the nation to help. Dog ownership was banned as a bourgeois vanity under Chairman Mao Zedong, but Chinese society's views of pets have changed. There are now 91.5 million cats and dogs in the country, and about 10 other pet detectives have appeared over the past 2 years. Officials in one Indonesian city have hatched a plan to wean children off smartphones by giving them their own fluffy chicks to raise. About 2,000 four-day-old chicks will be handed out to pupils at elementary and junior high schools in Bandung in the coming weeks in an attempt to distract the kids from their gadget. Students must feed their new pets before and after and can keep them at home or on school premises if they don't have space in their backyard. Authorities in the city, around 150 kilometers southeast of the capital of Jakarta, have dubbed the unusual project Chickensation. At a ribbon cutting held Thursday, a dozen chicks in cages were distributed with a sign that read, "Please take good care of me." The project isn't just about curbing school kids' phone habits, he said. It's also part of a national plan to broaden pupils' education launched by President Joko Widodo. Mother Rayad Ratnasari was sold on the chicks' not-smartphones plan and even expressed hopes it might encourage her son to become a poultry farmer.
Taking care of chickens is beneficial. While playing with smartphones, it just damages your eyes, and students have less time to study. With these chickens, more time spent for feeding them in the morning, changing the water in the afternoon, and feeding again in the evening.
For VOA Business Scene, I'm Ira Milne. Here's a news break from VOA Asia. Authorities in New Zealand Tuesday called off the search for two bodies they believe were washed out to sea from White Island following a deadly volcanic eruption there earlier this month. Make sure to visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. This is VOA Asia. December 25th is Christmas Day over much of the world. The Christmas spirit encompassing the old and the new is alive in historic Williamsburg, Virginia. That colonial town dates back to the 1600s, while nearby Busch Gardens Amusement Park opened in the 1970s. Both places are displaying different but unique holiday decorations, making Williamsburg one of the best places in the United States to visit during the Christmas season. VOA's Deborah Block takes us on a tour.
Christmas came in with a bang in colonial Williamsburg, where a fife and drum corps brought in the holiday spirit. And at nearby Busch Gardens Christmastown, an eye-popping light show illuminates a German village. During the holiday season, the theme park turns into a winter wonderland, decorated with 11 million lights, making it one of the largest Christmas displays in North America. This mother and daughter say Christmastown is magical.
Everything's lit up and festive and bright and just makes you happy.
It's really nice and fun, and there's a lot of things to do. Go on the train and look at the lights, and the lights are really pretty.
This visitor enjoys Christmastown's recreated European villages.
Experiencing the different cultures, even though it's not, you're not there, you feel like you're there. The different architecture and the food, too.
Here in this Irish pub, visitors are getting a dark beer called stout. And in this old German village, the sweet smell of gingerbread brings people into a cookie shop. Colonial Williamsburg also feels like another place and time. Williamsburg became the capital of the Virginia colony in 1699. Some 18th century buildings have been restored, while others were reconstructed on their original foundation. Today, the town is a living historic museum.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well, my friends.
Christmas in Colonial Williamsburg was much simpler than it is today.
Christmas was more a celebration of going to church and feasting, parties, dances. They would tuck holly sprigs in the window panes or some evergreen.
In 1842, Williamsburg became the first town in the American colonies to have a decorated Christmas tree.
Small tabletop tree decorated with gilded walnuts and balls surrounded by red gauze and lit with candles.
Today, this Christmas tree in the Folk Art Museum contains 2,000 handmade ornaments inspired by pieces in the collection.
I see this. It's up, all the way up there.
This object is traced from a piece in the collection that was cut by a woman who was born without any arms, and she cut with her teeth and her toes.
As these holiday iron basket crescents burn, while the fife and drums play on a colonial street, visitors are invited to think about a simpler time and the roots of America's enduring Christmas traditions. Deborah Block, VOA News, Williamsburg.
This is Science in a Minute.
University of Copenhagen researchers have extracted a complete human genome from 5,700-year-old chewing gum. They say it's the first time an entire ancient human genome has been extracted from anything other than human bones. The chewing gum, which is actually pitch or tar extracted from a birch tree, was found during archaeological excavations in southern Denmark. The scientists say they were also able to extract DNA from oral microorganisms and key human pathogens. After analyzing the genome, the scientists found that the ancient gum chewer was a female and was more closely related genetically to people from mainland Europe than those who lived in Scandinavia at the time. The genome also revealed that she probably had dark skin, dark hair, and blue eyes. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Remember to get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud, download our podcast, and take VOA Asia with you. Visit our voanews.com program page and see us on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter. Hope you're writing all these down. Let's hear from you, VOA Asia Facebook, and our email at voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Dan Crafton, Managing Editor Diane Gao and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Doug Bernard, and Keith Land. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a wonderful day.